Harihi
Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvinavaditamastamavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Yeah, I guess because when you apply the strategy,
exactly.
You're applying it in your mind, basically it's technically to dead matter, because you're giving life to it and animating it. But in actuality, it's conscious on its own.
Yeah.
So it exactly. Responds possibly differently than you expected.
Who would have thunk it?
Yeah, who would have thought that? Okay. Adhikarana 6, the unseen person. Adrishya Adhikaranam. Sutra reference 1, 2, 21 to 24. In the Mundaka Upanishad, there is a being known as Akshara, unseen, possessed of invisibility. Adhikarana 6 shows that this being cannot be Pradhan or Jiva because of the statement of distinctive attributes and difference. Right? So basically, what we're trying to establish is that everything's Krishna. That's what we're trying to establish. And so anything, the special attributes of anything is actually Krishna, not the Jiva. The Jiva might have these attributes manifest at different times, but it's never them. And we may see certain qualities within the Pradhan, but it's all coming from the Supreme Lord. So, in other words, the qualities of the Jiva, the qualities of Pradhan are coming from the Lord. That's why we may be able to perceive that something is there. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. The Om is also called as Ekakshara. So, is it referring to that also?
Because Om is Krishna.
Yeah. So it means the same.
Yeah. Because if you see Om, do you see Krishna, Radharani, the Jivas, the Dham and their pastimes?
No.
So that's the unseen. You understand? Because that's what Om represents.
But if we chant Hare Krishna, we also don't see it.
Yes. But it's Krishna. We say Krishna and his name are non-different. We don't say that you see this. We say that... like that. It means if you do it for... Then you'll start to see, but it's by Krishna's grace. Because the whole thing that's left out in the intellectual's concept is the grace of the Lord. The Lord being a person, He reveals Himself. It's the... That is the weakness of the intellectuals. They think that by their intelligence they can get everything done. Just like, let's say someone with power thinks that by my power I can get anything done. Or with money, by that I can get anything done. Or by my influence, or like that. One thinks that I can do everything through this. And they can do a lot. But what's not appreciated is that a bit potency, that why that even works, that's coming from the Supreme. So, the discussion's not actually qualitatively, it's quantitatively. Like, let us say, I have two piles of money, right? On one side over here, I have a 50 paise coin, I have two rupees coins, and I, whoopee, have a 10 rupee coin. Okay? And on the other side, I have, you know, about 50 or 100 stacks of 2,000 rupee bundles. You know, that means 2 lakhs each. Which is money? Yeah, means you can say, yes, of course, that what do we have? 12 and a half rupees, that is money.
2 chapatis.
But that's not real money. That's all you get now is 2 chapatis.
I think so. That's pretty, isn't it?
That's what Dalin says, you know.
3
chapatis. 3 chapatis. Okay.
He knows how to negotiate.
Okay.
12 and a half.
One bite less than 3. Okay. Does that make sense? Right. So, therefore, the point is, but in quality, they're both money. They both have the ability to buy things and that. Right? One will buy, 3 chapatis, and the other will buy, you know, the whole chapati factory, all the fields of atta, and all the guys working on it, right?
How much money was in the second part?
There was 100 stacks of 2 lakhs, so that means there was 2 crores. So that's definitely money, right? Mm. Yeah, okay. I just wanted to make sure. Okay. So, therefore, that's the whole point. It's not that the jiva doesn't have qualities of the Lord. But when we're talking about it in this great amount that the Vedanta Sutra is talking about it in, it means the Lord.
Is it because we're talking about it in a generic sense? The quality itself, I mean, all of that quality?
Yes. Because you're talking the unseen. Oh, so the jiva's unseen, but that's one jiva. You know, no, it's not even that. Yeah, of course, quantity, but it's one jiva in one situation is not seen. And then another, a different jiva, and another one, a different jiva. But the Lord as Paramatma is not seen in all of them. Like that. So when we say the unseen, you know what I'm saying? You know, it's just like you're playing hide and seek and the kid goes hide and you can't see him. Mm-hmm. Is he actually the unseen? So when they make conspiracy theories, they're talking about that kid, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you understand? So that's the thing is you're talking about what's the... Yes?
Sometimes I find this discussion about the unseen and Krishna, when I read Prabhupada's books especially, I find it so theistic it hurts.
Yes, yes. Like that. Yeah, no, it's very, very, very clear. I mean, it's always exactly Krishna. You have that in the Krishna book, the prayers of personified Vedas. So that is those who know the Vedas so well, they are the Veda personified. You know, just like you have sometimes great scholars and they're called walking encyclopedias. Just they know so much. So here's their personified Vedas because they know the Vedas so well. And so in their discussion, it's always about Krishna. How he's pervading everything, how he is everything, how everything's connected to him. So all these different aspects that are all seen here. The whole Vedanta Sutra. Because the Bhagavatam, from what I've heard, that's the original chapter. Because all the philosophies in that chapter, and then from there, it's expanded into all the different stories and everything to explain it. So, it's extremely theistic. Because what we're used to is we're used to religion. It's actually not talking about theology. It's just talking about good character. You know, turn the other cheek. Why? That's not, it could be nice, to be good. Why should we be nice and good? That's not explained. So that's the whole thing, is we're used to the concept of religion actually being sub-religion. We're not used to religion. Religion means theistic. So that's the thing, is our whole experience is not actually fully theistic. There's a concept, now and again they talk about God as a person, but most of the time they're just talking about being good and being nice, and ultimately he's impersonal and has nothing to do around here, so we're the honchos and have to make things happen. That's what we're actually used to. So when we're pointing out as all those areas of honchoness, that's actually Krishna, like that. We're not used to that. That everything you're doing You know, that you're drinking your soup, right? Now that the power of your hand to be able to hold the spoon that it can actually hold the soup, the bowl that it can actually accommodate the soup, right? Like that, your ability to actually, you know, pick the soup up and the spoon and get it in your mouth. You know, we just take it for granted, but, you know, if you watch kids eating, it's actually a great accomplishment. You know, So that's the thing. All that's Krishna. Then that power of that soup, that it has the nourishment, or it has the taste, or it has, you know, that ability to make one feel comfortable or happy, or whatever it is that you see in that soup. Like all these different things, that's all Krishna. There's nothing that's not Krishna. And then you break everything down. Okay, in the soup, this particular thing does this, that one does that. The potency of all those things are Krishna. So technically, that's the whole idea, is that once one understands that, there's no situation where you're not can't be Krishna conscious, right? One will change as much as possible one's lifestyle to include the direct activities of devotional service that are obviously Krishna. But all the indirect, that's all already him. So there's nothing. No situation where one can't see Krishna if one understands all these different points. That's the whole idea, is how to be... Because sometimes it's asked, well, you know, I have to go to work and I have my job and all this. How can I see Krishna? This is how. You know? Does that make sense? You know, Krishna is the taste of water, right? He doesn't say, I'm the taste of sitting at a chair, you know, in front of a computer in a little cubicle, right? Therefore, where does everyone hang out? At the water cooler, right? Yeah, so that's why. So they're all attracted to Krishna. So that's why it works. Right?
That's where all the gossip is.
Yeah, of course. You know. Yeah, so that's the, you know, that's the whole, and he says, I'm the cheater of the cheated, so that whoever's got the best gossip is the... So that's the whole thing, is that there's nothing. That's why Prabhupada and the Acharyas, they talk about how technically there is no material world. There's the inferior, one quarter inferior manifestation of Krishna's potency. But there's actually nothing material, because material means it's about me. So when they see like that, they see everything connected to Krishna. There is no mundane. That's why they can move through the world so comfortably. It's not a big deal. It's because they see Krishna. We're looking at it, wow, so controlled in the senses. Oh, they're not, you know, the Goswamis, they don't, you know, only sleep an hour and a half a day, and even that they sometimes forget. Wow, you know, so, you know, yeah, I got to take a nap, Prabhu, wake me up in 6 seconds or something. I can remember that kind of stuff. You know, remember that stuff?
It was like 15 minutes, but...
15? Wow, it's already expanded.
Yeah, that's
10 minutes power nap.
Power 10 minutes. No, but they're always down to seconds, you know, 30 seconds.
I thought a power nap was 4 hours.
Empowered
nap. Yes.
Empowered nap, yes. That's empowered, yeah. Yes.
So this is the actual understanding of being equipoise. This actual understanding, not actually not doing anything.
Yes. All the qualities that it mentions, you know, that the sadhus have, the devotees have, the 26 qualities, all those qualities of knowledge. See, it comes because you're absorbed in Krishna. These are byproducts. Right? In other words, you see Krishna, see everything connected to Krishna. A byproduct is that is you see everyone equally. Right? And therefore, then you deal with everyone respectfully. Then it'll be a byproduct of that. And so, in other words, everything starts from Krishna and comes down from there. But because we don't have that vision, we're starting from the mechanical, because we can relate to that. Right? Because we're coming from a skill-based society. You know, that's on a good day. You know, like that. So, in other words, the niche for the program, for the person with skill, is smaller than the one where everybody's a buffoon. Like that. You know what I'm saying? So we start with a skill, but we see that skill connected to Krishna. I'm doing this because it's connected to Krishna. Right? Like when Prabhupada describes Samkirtan, what's he describing? He's describing as the Dati Prati Grinati. Right? I'm giving Krishna consciousness, the person out of gratefulness is giving, therefore, a dakshin. Go ahead, knock me out. Which Sankirtan seminar they discuss it like that? You know what I'm saying? But that's what how Prabhupada describes in Upadeshamrita, in that verse. So it's a whole different way of looking. So we're starting from the mechanical. It means from there it'll get down to, yes, of course, there's a particular technique and different ways, attitude, dressing, you know, all these different things. But actually, if you have that really, if just see it connected to Krishna, see all the living entities, the technique will just manifest naturally. You understand? That's why you see some devotees, they just can just go out and do it. They can't necessarily explain it or... You know what I'm saying? You know, that one, what do you call it, that Mataji that's out there and her sari, and she's not actually that, she doesn't wear it that well, and she does the most books. It's because she sees Sankirtan in that kind of light. Rather than, you know, if he wasn't selling books, he'd be selling second, you know, hand cars. That Sankirtan devotee. Because for him, it's all the technique, the this, the dive, you know, the tie, the this, your suit, you know, the that, kick the white walls, you know, the whole thing. Like that. But so everybody's engaging, but one's starting from one end, one's starting from the other. But the whole point is because it's about Krishna, they're both perfect. So with time, that one will get to the other. You know? And the other one will have technique. Right, but for the one, because you start with Krishna, there'll be less difficulties. Not saying that they don't run into external problems. It's just not a problem for them. Their mind doesn't perceive it as a problem. While for the other, you know, yeah, it wasn't a good day today, but you know, tomorrow will be you know, back there, and you know, they got the lines, and so then they just keep at it, and by doing that, then Krishna's pleased, and it works. So that's why. Devotional service is so perfect, it doesn't matter how you approach it. If Krishna is included, it works. But what Krishna, after giving all that technical advice, then is giving you the simplest, most straightforward, just surrender to Him, everything else comes. If you have Him who is Dharma, why all the other aspects of Dharma won't be included? You know, it's like I'm looking at this pile of, you know, 2 crores of rupees and saying, will I be able to get 3 chapatis with that? You know.
Yeah. No, because they won't have the change.
Yeah, they won't have the change.
Yeah. But you could probably get the 3 chapatis if you're willing to.
Yeah, if you give the whole.
I would probably give you 3 chapatis for, you know, how long you here? Yeah. 2 weeks, no problem. Yeah. You know.
Have you met my daughter?
We won't get into it. Those are byproducts. We don't want to get into that aspect. So. Okay. We're done. The descending here, not the. Yes. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. So yes.
Regarding Pradhan.
Pradhan.
How can Pradhan be invisible? Because.
How can Pradhan be?
Invisible. Actually.
Invisible.
Yeah,
do you see Pradhan?
This is a manifestation of Pradhan.
No, but this is Mahat.
Yeah, this is Mahabharata.
Yeah, but you don't see Pradhan.
Yeah, actually we don't see, but...
Yes, so that's the whole point. That's what unseen means. It's not that those who are seers of the truth don't see.
They see.
But it's through, it has that element of that it goes through inference. It's just a matter how fast is that process of inference. So you may look at this and see Pradhan. So that means you're a seer when it comes to seeing Pradhan. Now you just have to cultivate it until that same process you see the Lord. Who's why Pradhan works. Does that make sense? It's the same process. It's just that's the whole point. They're able to see Jiva, they're able to see Pradhan, they just can't see the Lord. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's... Yes.
Sometimes we hear in lectures that we are not doing Krishna consciousness is not a religion, it's a spirituality.
But what's the... See, What's the approach? What's the purpose of it not being a religion? If it's not a religion, means I can speculate and do whatever I like. See, because religion means there's rules, regulations, there's a form, and all that. So if I say it's not a religion, then I'm saying it has no form. But everything is a religion. That's the whole point. If you're actually on the philosophical platform, you see everything as religion. It's so, yes, it is not a religion. We'll agree 100%. It is the religion. And so then if we're not seeing it on that level, we're seeing it on the speculative level, then below that. So we're dealing with Upadharma. That's why it's not seen as a religion, because religion is not understood. You understand? Because they're taking it, religion means the rules in that. Religion is defined by Prabhupada and the Acharyas means the inherent nature you can't change. So human being has a nature. Right? Does that make sense? You can't say human being is this or human being is that, meaning the way of, okay, they're from Germany, they're from England, they're from America, because the funny part is Americans were established by people from Germany and England. There are no... The only Americans in America live on a reservation.
We booted them off.
Huh?
They booted them off already.
Oh, really? They lost the reservations.
Have casinos.
They have a few, still, barely.
Wow.
Running casinos now.
Running casinos.
Yeah, that's what they do for reservations.
So it's not correct to say that
it's a science, but that's the whole point. Religion is science. So they can't explain. Where does it come from? You know what I'm saying? Judaic, okay, that's the Lord gives that, it's given the other. Where did the Christian come from? You know what I'm saying? Christians technically are Jews who believe in Christ as the Messiah. So these others, that's Paul, he made that up. He got it from the Greeks. It's Greek philosophy. That's how they could take Aristotle and weave it in, because it's just one Greek philosophy and add in another Greek philosophy. And then the fun part is no one even knows the philosophy. You know what I'm saying? So then they make up the form. Why does the Pope have a hat that, you know, the heat goes out the top, right? You know, what does that mean? No? You know, why that? You know, why, so they've created that. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole thing. And so then, yes, like that, there's none. You know? Buddhism. Now, Buddhism is something that has no nothing, right? Other than you, there's nothing. But this whole thing where they wear what they wear, they live in monasteries, they go out, and that's not Buddhism. Buddhism is you have no place, you don't stay anywhere, you just keep wandering, and at a certain time of the day you go out and beg, and that's it. And the rest of the time you just discuss the philosophy or meditate. That's real Buddhism. You know what I'm saying? So we're used to these kind of things. So yes, when we say it's not a religion, we mean it's not like that. It's not like a world religion. Right? Because if we say it's not a world religion, then we can't. It's not Hinduism, therefore we don't have to follow any of the rules and regulations that the Hindus follow. That's the bottom line. Right? You have to understand, just like for the Mayavadis here, everything's about being God. So all these other aberrations, it's always about doing whatever I want to do and then saying I'm advanced in Krishna consciousness. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. We're done. Okay. Summary of Adhikarna 6. 1. Vishaya. The Mundaka Upanishad 1.1.5-6 says, quote, here is the transcendental knowledge by which the Lord, Akshara, is known. The great sages directly see the Lord, who cannot be seen, who cannot be grasped, who has no name, who has no color, who has no eyes or ears, who has no hands or feet, who is eternal, all-powerful, all-pervading, subtle and changeless, and who is the creator of all that is. End quote. Later, the Mundaka Upanishad 2.1.2 says, quote, the attractive person is without form, is inside and outside, is unborn, without pranas, without mind, pure and superior to the akshara, prakriti. Yeah, that's all. Because the point is this, as we're saying, the qualities of the jiva, like Krishna gives us one verse where he's talking about the jivas and how they're sustaining the universe. So they are because of their material desire, therefore the universe goes on. Krishna arranges it, but who actually is maintaining it is Krishna. Right? In other words, why do you have a crib in the middle of your living room? Right? Because adults love cribs hanging around the house. You know, it's something, it's just so easy to walk straight across the room. So to spice things up, you put a crib right in the middle so you have to walk around it every time and stuff like that. Right? No, it's because there's a child there, right? So because the child technically is maintaining the crib. As long as the child doesn't need the crib, there's no crib. Does that make sense? So that's what it means. So then they're misinterpreting it, then that's the whole point. So, Samshaya. Do these two passages describe the first Pradhan and then the Purusha, Jiva, or do they describe the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Right. So now they're saying there's two descriptions here, so then they're taking it that they're describing the Pradhan and the Jiva. Right? The Lord never features. Somehow or another, he never features in the Vedic literature, according to these wallets, right? Three, Purva Paksha. Because in these passages there is no mention of being the observer or any other qualities of a conscious being, and because there is mention of the word yoni, source of everything, which refers to the ingredient of which the creation is made, these passages describe the eternal Pradhan, and above the eternal Pradhan, the Purusha, Jiva, right? Now that's important, that the Jiva is above Pradhan, right? You know, in other words, from the jiva has come illusion, right? So the Pradhan is the manifestation of the ingredients of illusion. That makes the jiva superior to Pradhan. So since there's no supreme lord other than Brahman, then, and we're non-different from Brahman, so what does that make us?
Supreme.
The supreme.
Jai.
Right?
Arigo.
That's the whole...
Eight.
Yeah. Above the eternal ever-changing Pradhan is the Jiva, who is the knower of the field of activities. Therefore, in these passages, the Pradhan and Jiva should be known to be the topics of the discussion. Right? So that's their idea. Siddhanta, the conclusion follows. Adrishvadi gunako dharmoktehe. These passages describe the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who possesses many transcendental qualities, including invisibility, because his qualities are described here. Right? Sutra 1.2.21. Adrishtvari gunako dharmoktehe. Adrishtva, being invisible. Adi, beginning with. Gunako, qualities. Dharma, qualities. Uktehe, because of the statement. The verse refers to the Lord full of qualities like invisibility, because they mention particular qualities appropriate to the Lord. Sutra Prakashika. Vyasa explains why the description of Akshara in Mundaka Upanishad fits to the description of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sri Govinda Bhasya. Vishaya, the Mundaka Upanishad 1156 says, Atapara yaya tad aksharam adhi gamyate. This is the spiritual knowledge by which the Lord Akshara can be understood. The wise see the Lord who cannot be seen or grasped. That's the point, is that through Shastra you can see. That's the whole idea. That's Shastra Chakshus. Now, this idea, no, I have to be able to directly see with my senses. But the point is, even you see with your senses, unless the mind registers it, it doesn't matter. So it's actually what the mind sees what's important. Right? We base our life on what our mind sees. Right? Even if everybody else sees it a slight bit different. Right? You know, like that. That's the whole thing. So this is the point, is through this shastra you can see, and you get that benefit.
Can we say that we're seeing with our consciousness instead of our eyes, actually?
Yeah, because depending on your level of consciousness, that's what you'll see. Mm-hmm. So in other words, I see myself with senses. Mm-hmm. You know, in other words, my senses are the authority. You know, and the senses are about me, so I don't really care about anyone else's senses because I won't perceive anything through them. then there's the point of, yes, I'll accommodate other senses only because then I'll get what I want from my senses. Right? So technically in this, even though they talk about having some kind of authority, they actually are anti-authority. That's the whole fun about the pranamoyic platform. It sounds like there's some authority, but there isn't. Because in here, it's we the people make the authority. And that's the whole point. And that we, then that's defined by the individual. Because everybody moves in their own little group. And so then they define what's reality and everything. So there is no authority other than the group. You know, there may be a leader of the group and they may define, but that's the whole point, is it's not actually theistic, it's atheistic. So even though they're being good and nice, so in trying to interact, they want to be good, nice, but the whole point is economic development. That's the bottom line, right? So that's why you see, is if they can get economic development at the expense of justice or ethics, they'll do it. But if someone else's dealings goes against their economics, then what will they pull out of the hat? Ethics and justice. So it's very subjective, these concepts. They're not objective. So only when you accept religion and the philosophy of understanding that, then it becomes theistic, because there is law and there is standard, and that's the way it is. You have to adjust to that. And you have to see how does it apply. Right? So in other words, when we say patris, how do I fit into this? Right? Well, we say, oh, time, place, and circumstances. It's like it's about me. And then what can I do these other situations? Or this is what I had to do. But it's not like, how do I fit into it? It's not like there's an eternal thing. It's just, that's what I felt needed to be done. So that's the whole point, is the modern culture is not actually theistic, and therefore it doesn't actually appreciate authority. Right? Means the Brahmins were having problem with Vena. They got rid of Vena. What did they do? Did they create a committee? Did they create this? They had all the local people vote? No, they put in someone who was proper. You understand? So authority stays in place. But in the modern, there's a problem with authority. You remove the authority and just make... In other words, one person's a problem. And so the great solution is bring in more people so there'll be more of a problem. You know, but there's so many problems and no one notices. He sees like this, if I can focus on one problem, then I feel disturbed. If there's so many problems I can't focus, I don't notice. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's that's the whole point, is that it appears to be ideal and theistic and all those things, but it's not at all. It's below standard. That's why the Bhagavatam removes all those kind of approaches, because they don't actually have any value when it comes to Krishna consciousness. It means if you want to stay in the material world, it's a very good way to do it, but not necessarily as a human being. Right, but you know it's good for staying. If you want to get out of here, then you have to use the Veda. Yes.
Is it correct to say that the only way we can truly apply these mechanics is actually following the culture? So if the mechanics are being used in another way, maybe we aren't actually following the culture and the way it's meant to be.
Yes, well, that's why Bhagavatam says cultural revolution, because what will change, of course, the main culture is Krishna conscious culture. When one's God conscious, that will make an adjustment to everything else. Right? Is that what I'm saying? So it's standard aspects. So those mechanics come from Krishna, right? Okay, the car is coming, up, you're going there's a corner, right? Where do you brake? Before the corner, in the corner, after the corner? You know, you don't bother braking. It's just, you know, that wall over there, that will do the braking for you. You know. Yeah. Okay? But who makes those laws? We may observe them, but it's the laws. Right? So all it is that you're following what's already existing. It's Krishna's laws. Now, that's a small amount. What's the real point? What's the real dharma of a car? What's it for? That's it. That's the whole point. And, you know, generally, ideally in one piece. If you're not in one piece, that's called an ambulance. And generally, you're not driving that. So, you know, very rare somebody drives their own ambulance, you know.
A little help here.
Huh?
A little help here.
Yeah. Is that what I'm saying? So, that's the nature of it. These are mechanics that come with it. So the dharma is actually the purpose of it. What's the finer points, the philosophy of it. So that's the whole point. Is people say, oh, that's not practical, all this philosophy. That's because they only know how to be practical on the platform of pranamoy. You know what I'm saying? On the economic platform. But when you get into human life, then the practicality, if it's not based on philosophy, it's not human. So that's the whole idea, is that we're trying to catch that. So then with that, we can see. Right? The wise see the Lord who cannot be seen or grasped. Why do they see? Because of Shastra. And where have they gotten that? Have they just read it themselves? No. Like the academics, they just read on. No, it's from parampara. So the chit potency is there. Therefore, they can see. Right? So they have the right attitude, the right knowledge, the right application, the right goal. Right? So the whole sambandha is in, their philosophy is in place. Then they can apply it. But in the modern, they'll never discuss this much aspects. And we have enough trouble discussing four, but technically it's six. You know, if you practically apply it. Because you have the theory of application and result, and then you have the actual application and result. Right? So it's just like, you know, in the theory they don't get the four, let alone in application. So it's just, where's the reality? But here's because everything's in place, therefore they always get. Because we can say it's not practical, but who do we, you know, we discuss all these different things. They're doing well. Right? The members of the Vedic culture are doing well. Everybody likes to come over here because they got stuff. People, I just heard an interesting thing yesterday. Someone was saying they saw a documentary. It was a documentary on the Crusades that was put together by Islamic scholars. Like that. So a very different approach. Like that. Because from the West, it's all this religious thing and free, you know, like this and that, and, you know, sounding like it's all ideal. But they were pointing out is that Europe just had a 3 or 4 year famine, you know, drought. So there was nothing like that. There was various kings that were losing their power. Because of this, the Muslims came in and took over a particular kingdom. Like that, or, you know, an area like this, and then the Muslims, they were quite wealthy. Everything was very prosperous, though they weren't very organized. And the Pope was losing kind of power. He wanted to establish his authority. And so then what was the solution? The Crusades. Yeah, you know, get everyone together, you know, one point like this. First one failed, but then the second one, they actually took back land. So it was said that if this guy who lost his property gave his army, then they would go in. So they gave him the first city that they got, you know, which is his main place. But the rest of them, they gave to other people in that. And then they went. So it was an economic thing, because they wanted to take all this wealth. They would establish the authority of the Pope. This guy would get back his land, because they had droughts and that. And then they would get things that they could use. So it was a very different approach. So the thing is how you see things, then if you don't see it from the Vedic authority, it's going to be something else. As we see here, is that two very distinct perspectives of one event. You know, and then you say, is this right, is that right? But the point is no, God consciousness, that's what's right. and that which comes by authority, that's what comes down through parampara. You see like that, then we see properly. That's seeing. That's why the wise, you know, the wise can see the Lord. Is that something? That's the whole idea. Later, Mundaka Upanishad 2.12 also says, Divyo Hyamruta Purusha Sa Bahya Vyantaro Hyaja Aprano Yamana Shubhro Kshara Paratha Paraha. The attractive person is without form, is inside and outside, is unborn, without pranas, without mind, pure and superior to the Aksha. Prakriti. Right, so here they mention Prakriti. So that's why they're saying then this one must be the Jiva, the other one is the Pradhan, yes. Shamshaya. The doubt is this, do these two statements speak of Prakriti and the Jiva, Purusha or the Lord, Purvapaksha? The first quotation speaks of Prakriti because Akshara, called Akshara, because qualities of a conscious being such as being a seer are not mentioned. And the source, Yoni, refers to the material cause of the universe. The second quotation describes the jiva, since it is described as being superior to the akshara prakriti, which undergoes transformations. Thus, the first quotation refers to prakriti, and the second refers to jiva, siddhanta. The conclusion follows: Adrishtvari gunako dharamoktehe. The verses refer to the Lord full of qualities like invisibility because they mention particular qualities appropriate to the Lord. Right? So in other words, these are appropriate to the Lord because he's the basis of Pradhan. Both verses refer to Paramatma, who has qualities such as invisibility, adrishvadi gunakaha. Why? Because the verses mention the Lord's qualities, dharmoktehe, right? It's his nature. The qualities, but the point is these qualities are the nature, they're the religion. Right? Does that make sense? So this is the thing. Let's say, okay, one approach to, okay, they're mentioning qualities. That means the qualities that he has. But why does he have those? Because they're inherent. Right? So that's the whole point of Dharma, means who defines what's inherent and what's not. Right? Now if we say, okay, what's the inherent nature of fire? Right? The Vedas will tell us heat and light. We'll probably say it burns things down or we can cook on it, or you know, we won't actually get to the essential point. So because of that, then different people see different qualities. But they're not seeing the inherent quality. So that's the whole point. That's Dharma, the inherent quality. So what was discussed before is, yes, Dharma, we're seeing the secondary aspects. But Dharma is actually the primary. The secondary come from it. They're the manifestation of it. So that's why Dharma is seen on this higher level. Because if you see that, then you can actually see. And if you don't, then you can't see. Right? Like that. Because what does science mean? Right? Science is a body of knowledge that, by understanding and practice, can be seen. So we're saying, yes, Dharma can be seen if you follow the process. But that's the point, is that on the Vedic platform, religion and science are exactly the same thing. Right? That's the whole point. Only in the modern, they separate it. Right? Like that. But in the Vedic, they're one thing.
And they separated because at one point the Christians just couldn't explain.
Yes, they couldn't explain. Yes, and they were using, you know, the control and influence and everything. In other words, why do people follow science nowadays? It means there is the thing, the intellectual, this and that, but if it doesn't make money, then, right, you know. In other words, who's going to fund something that won't make money? Right? So, therefore, it's actually economic. So, because the church was holding all the power and all the authority there, they want to take the economy away from them to something else. So we see is the whole Western thing is all based on economy, right? It means if you look at it, where did the kind of all these you know, things come up is that who's in control? Who gets the money, right? Who controls and keeps the money in America, right? You know, the King of England or the colonies, right? Then you have the French, right? So what's happening is that, at least the way we learn, you have the those people that have some money, they're coming up, they want to have authority, the bourgeois. So it's economic based. All these revolutions are economic based. They'll say some theology to try to make it sound really nice, some philosophy, some this, that, but actually it's economically driven.
So it's why the British were successful here, not the Dutch, because they made friends with the finance people. They started supporting them. Then the authority was undermined.
Okay. Yeah, because it was a business, you know, with large cannons.
Yes.
When you say science, do you mean philosophy or just...
Science just means there's a particular mechanics of it that works in a specific way that's observable. Right? That's what you're meaning by science. Art means how do you apply that. Religion means what's the inherent nature of it. It's all one thing. It's just different aspects of the one thing. So as long as you're discussing on that level, then that's what you're saying there. That as religion, yes, then we're a religion. But if you're looking at it simply as the external aspects, then you can say Krishna consciousness isn't about that. It's about the higher principle. But the point is since every primary has its natural secondary, we are talking about the recommended natural secondary. We don't ignore that secondary. Otherwise, we would be without culture. You understand? That's the whole point, is that if you accept the primary but not the secondary, then there'll be mental speculation. Right? Those that don't accept the Vedic culture, they're very good at speculating and coming with all kinds of alternatives. That's because they have philosophy, no religion. Right? Those who accept the Vedic religion but not the philosophy, they're sentimental. So, of course, those who are more intellectual consider themselves superior to those who are, sentimental. But in the process, because they reject the Vedic as a religion, they're also impious. Smart, but impious. While the other ones are not as smart, but pious. You know, and since their intellect won't get them anything anyway, then who's the idiot here? Because at least the piety will gain them some money in that, you know. They buy a few motels with it or something. Right?
Isn't it that the intellectuals are actually also sentimental?
Of course they're sentimental. But the point is you can't say that to them. You know? You know, that it's like telling the guy on the Harley, him spending, you know, 4 minutes putting on his bandana, you know, isn't that a bit effective? Yeah, you know, like that. No, it's not going to work. So, you know, you can't say those things. Yes?
Be careful. You see that a lot of the time, especially from the West, we value our sophistication more than anything else. Like, we go around here, right, you know, in the middle of the night, you'll be hearing the loud music blaring. And we'll make our statement, we're in the West, you know, this should never happen, people are a lot more respectful. And we throw that projection out, and we can catch ourselves doing that time and time again, thinking that sophistication, that class is there.
Yes, but then the whole point is okay, when did this Western sophistication begin?
Did it?
Yeah, that's another thing. Right. Quoting Mahatma Gandhi there, right? You know, right? Said he went to England and came back, and someone asked him, "So, what did you think of Western civilization?" He said, "That would be a good idea." Yeah. So when do we say the roots of everything? Intellectual started in Bologna, which in America you would say in American English say baloney, and which, you know, means a bunch of nonsense, right? Yes. So whatever starts in Bologna in like it was like 1100 something like that. So then you could say the intellectual basis started there, you know, kind of like the late or mid, what, Dark Ages? So in other words, when they went from the old culture, you know, means in Judaism there's no dark ages. They just went on as they were, making their money and doing quite fine. Right? So the point is why was there a dark ages? Because they threw out the whole process that was there, and then they have to start from scratch. Yes?
They had to get Aristotle and Plato from the Arabs, because they were completely forgotten in Europe.
Yeah, yeah. Well, because they burned everything, right? You know, I think that, you know, was it one of the eighth wonders of the world, the library at Alexandria? The Christians burned that. And they were quite, they were, the guy, you know, the guy who burnt it got sainthood. He kicked out the Jews and he burnt the library. And he killed the philosophers or the teachers there. He got sainthood.
Hitler didn't get sainthood.
Huh? Huh?
Hitler did the same thing, but he didn't get sainthood.
No. That's just, yeah.
And what was his sainthood based upon?
Sorry?
Was his sainthood?
Because he established Christianity.
Burn.
You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole thing. Is that's the funny part about history, depending upon who writes it. The same thing is good. Like you said here, Hitler did the same thing. Yeah, got rid of the Jews, burned things down.
Huh?
Burned all the books. And he's considered bad. But this guy was considered, you know, great upholder of... Yeah. So that's the funny part of history. Depending on who writes it, it sounds great or not great. You know, it's like... When Pizarro showed up in South America, so many of the locals died because those guys in the boat, they never took bath. They were so dirty, they were like walking disease personified. Right? So they just wipe out the place. So naturally it's very easy to come in and take over. And these are the big conquistadors, right? You know, what was their potency? They didn't take a bath. You know, like that was their claim to fame. Right? So how do you get into that? It's always fun to get into these tangents so nicely and then completely forget them.
Music and sophistication.
Yes, okay. So, when did it start? So, let us just take here, at this particular point. I'm not sure, I think this would be what? Mid-medieval or high medieval?
Which one?
The 1100s, like that? Mid. Okay, so about the mid, they starting to get it together a little bit. You know, like that, and they put together Magna Carta and all these kind of different things, and then they feel themselves chuffed. So this is how much time later? 1,000 years. Okay, so we're saying that the Western culture is so great, it took them 1,000 years to get to the point where they made a law that you can't have a loudspeaker making so much noise. And I guarantee you that's only in the last, you know, 50, 60, 80 years. So that means before that, you could make as much noise as you wanted. So now these guys have just gotten the electronics and this and that, so give them a few years. You know, like that. You know, come back in 1,000 years and then you see if they're also...
It's just our relativity.
Yeah, like that. That's all.
They've abandoned certain sections of America where people are driving with huge boomboxes.
Yeah. No, that's that. All kinds of stuff. It's just
going on in America.
Yeah. So that's the thing. It's just a matter of, oh, you know, look at all this. Calcutta, look at all this and that. I went, Bhavananda said something funny. He said, someone's complaining about Calcutta, how run down and this and that. You know, it's so behind, you know. And he said, no, it's actually on the cutting edge of cities of the world. They said, cutting edge, look at this dump. He says, no, Calcutta is what all the other big cities in the world are going to look like after some time. Yeah, so Calcutta's ahead of its time, right? Because Prabhupada said, whatever Bengal does, then the rest of India, then from India, then the rest of the world. So it's just a matter of time.
The tribe is catching up.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, unless you walk on a few places on Fifth Avenue, Lexington, Third, you know, Times Square, a few places. The rest of New York is a real slum. It's just gray with just so much smoke and run down and falling apart.
Same as Paris.
Everything's like that. So that's, yeah, it means there's that little central thing. And there's that there's a particular road, I don't remember the name. Outside of that, that could just be slum.
Yeah.
And that's where all the artists and everyone went. You know, so that every place you go is like that. They have a few places and the rest of it is just run down. So the whole point is they, you know, they've just been at it longer, so therefore Paris, the Eiffel Tower, you know. But it's like, you know, Calcutta, okay, Victoria Memorial, okay. Yeah, that's about it. No, Marble Palace, yeah, Marble Palace.
Howard Bridge? No.
Howard Bridge, I don't know. From a distance, Howard Bridge. It was in the Guinness Book of World Records for the most variety and volume of vehicles going over it. Of a bridge in the world, right? You know, everywhere says cars go, trains go, cars and trains go. Maybe they have a little pedestrian lane, but herding cows over that, bicycles, rickshaws, trams, you know, you name it, it's going over it. Yeah. Yeah, so it's just a matter of we're seeing what we call sophistication. Basically, it comes down to is that this is what I noticed on a train once was the big major difference between you know here and the West. The West, the individuals are highly intolerant, but they work together to make rules so that no one does anything that will bother you. While in India, they're very tolerant, so other people do crazy stuff, it doesn't bother them. So, you know, if you're in the West, it works. You know, it's just like Indians can be here, they're fine. They can go to the West, they're fine. But the Westerners, they can only be fine in the West. When they come here, they're not. So who's actually superior? So in other words, they have more personal character. The cultural character is lost. Who did that? The British. That was their actual purpose. Was to destroy the culture. So if there's any problem here, or in South America, or anywhere else on the planet, it's because of the conquistadors. Right? So, England, Spain, Portugal, Denmark.
Yeah, we were bad.
Yeah. Holland. They just go in and destroy the Dutch. They just go in and destroy the culture, take all the money, and then, you know, why do we say the West is superior? Because it has wealth. But where did the wealth come from? It didn't come from selling boar skins. You know, like that. You know, so I'm saying, they didn't have anything. They got all the wealth from all the other cultures of the world. Because otherwise, is there gold? Is there any natural resource in Europe? Technically, no. Everywhere else has it. So you go and take it from them, you use it, you look good. So the point is with time they build up. So that's the whole thing, is that this whole thing of looking at it from that perspective, that's the problem. You have to look at it from the Vedic. Then you can see what is the value in the West and what is the value here, what is a value around the world. Because otherwise you can't decide. That's the point we're saying. You can see because you see according to parampara. Yes?
I was going to say when the Europeans first came to America, the bombings were just astounding.
Yeah.
And now America's been looted practically, but the thing is when they first came, the forests were teeming with wild animals, coastline or rich fish.
Yeah, no, it was very powerful. I mean, and the thing is that the Europeans were so great, why did, when they first went there, they all died? Right? The local Indians are living there on the same land, same facilities, and they're doing fine. But they can't even in that prosperity make it happen. You know, so that is, it's a difficulty. They're not as good as they claim to be. You know, it's just like here, the lights go off in the market, and the people, you know, just sit there wait for someone to turn on a light, and then they carry on business. The lights go out in New York, $1 billion of damage and looting that happens. So who are the superior people here? Right? So in other words, qualities are the higher thing. But it's made out that skills is the higher. So yeah, very sophisticated. But the thing is, you know, anybody who actually has some serious value knows that something that's made out of actual something, you know, original, and it mechanically works, is superior to something that is made out of plastic and it's going to fall apart. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole thing. Is that it's about the cultural things are what makes the difference. It's just a matter of you have to know what's going on. Yes, these things are annoying because they're simple village people. That's why you don't give simple village people, you know, a bunch of electronics. You know, because they don't know what to do with them. Okay. The Mundaka Upanishad 119 says, Ya sarvagya sarvavid yasya jnanamayam tapaha. From Brahman, who is omniscient, knowing everything, whose austerity is filled with knowledge, arose Brahman as food, which has name and form. The passage refers to the Lord because appropriate qualities are mentioned, because the section deals with paravidya, superior knowledge. Right, so it can't be about the pradhan, so that one has to go. You want to say something about jiva, but the point is these qualities more fit the Lord. Right? They're trying to make it fit. That's the thing. They're taking it and trying to stuff it into this. Right? Because you kind of can. You know? Like that. But it's not actually what, you know, they say, you know. The child is very, what do you call it? Adventurous, you know, very dynamic. He's an inventor because he goes into the fridge and takes the orange juice and takes something else and all this and that, mixes it up into a cup and drinks it. Right? You know, we're not going to talk to what happens to him after that. That would be, you know, uncultured, but hey.
This is the mode of passion that you can stretch it, and then there's a fascination with doing it?
Yeah, well, passion is because what you can get from it. I mean, it's just like this. Okay, let us say, if we say, you know, what's so special about the modern culture? The technology, then, so what's the benefit of technology? What are people going to say? Right? So much advantage, so much this, so much that. You have a thing with you that no matter where you are in any situation, it can find you. Right? Like that. Well, before you had a phone, it didn't have a voicemail. They'd call, and if you were there, you picked it up. And even if you were there and didn't want to call, you didn't pick it up. Right? And then it's not known. So people that you want to know, you can call if you have. Otherwise, you wrote a letter. Right? Does that make sense? If you wrote a letter, you didn't just sit there and just pick up a paper and write something really fast and then fold it up fast, stick it in an envelope fast, you know, write a thing on it fast, put a thing on it fast like that, and run off to the box and put it in there fast. No, you wrote, you read it, you looked at it, you rewrote it when it was exactly the way you want it, then you put it in the envelope, then you sent it. So how is it superior? How is it better? How are there better personal... That's the thing. So we'll say it's better, but it's actually not.
It's better because it's faster.
It's faster, yeah. But, you know.
It's all they can claim.
Yeah. Like that.
It's all about sense gratification.
That's the whole point. It's about sense gratification. So that's why we're saying the mode of passion is about sense gratification. So that's what you get, is that there's the option that you can get something from it. So it's economic. It's an economic basis. It's not a philosophical. It's made out to be, oh, it's superior, it's greater, and this and that. Right? But it's about the economic benefit you'll get.
And there is no patience, no tolerance. That goes lost.
Yes, but that's because, yeah. So, yes, yeah, so there's no tolerance, no patience, therefore things have to be quicker.
Waiting for the letter and, you know, all this subtle communication which
yes.
can go on between two persons when they just lose all.
Yes, no, all that's lost. But the point is that, you know, what's coming up from the point he's making, because the passion, it makes it look like it's good. There's the opportunity. You know, it's just like, I always found it, let's say, before one would go into a single shop, look around, you might find what you want, you might not find what you want. But it's just a, you know, simple place, not that fancy. Now you take it, make the place very fancy, lots of lights, lots of, you know, marble and plants and fountains and this and that, and fill the place up. You can walk around the whole place and still not find what you're looking for. You know. So that's all. Yeah. I say it's like I've heard people mention that, what do you call it? I remember as a kid, I can't remember if we had three channels or five. I think it was three. And there was always something, huh?
3, 6, and 10.
Three,
ABC,
six, and ten.
NBC and CBS.
CBS, yeah. It was three. Okay. Always something to watch. And problem is it was conflict. You wanted to watch this, but that was happening at the same time, so it was a big problem. Nowadays, 100 channels is nothing to watch.
Yes.
Except commercials. Commercials, don't worry. You'll get.
I can't believe you have three.
Yeah, we had one
too. It was like on, off.
No, nothing to watch.
Okay.
We're spoiled.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, kind of superior culture, yeah. Sophisticated superior culture that was being talked about.
Clearly, you're ahead of the game.
But it was all by money. You know, that was the whole thing. Yeah. Okay. Bhagavatam verse reference. The Antaryami is distinguished from the Jiva by his divine attributes of omniscience and invisibility. Srimad Bhagavatam 8.3.10. I offer respects to the Paramatma, who reveals the Jiva, who is the witness of the Jiva, and who is not approachable by the Jiva's words, mind, or chitta. Footnote 1. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments. The Lord is not understood by the mind and words of the Jiva. The Lord is the revealer of knowledge to the Jiva, Atma Pradipaya. That which is revealed does not know the nature of the revealer. The body, life, air, senses, internal senses, gross elements, and the sense objects do not know themselves or other things or the Jiva. The Jiva knows all these items and the gunas which cause them. He also knows Paramatma, but does not know the omniscient Lord. I worship that Lord with infinite quality. Srimad Bhagavatam 6.4.25. I offer respects to the Lord who cannot be understood by the actions of the Jiva's consciousness. Sardartha Darshani 8.3.10. So all these things that are there that can be perceived, they don't know themselves, they don't know the Lord. The Jiva can perceive them, but he himself, he's heard of the Lord, but he doesn't know the Lord. Right? So when we say no, means no as a person. Right? You may know that he's there, he's in everything, but that's all, we just know that much. To actually realize, that's only by the Lord's grace. So that's the point, is all what is revealed is still doesn't know the Lord. So the Lord is beyond even what is revealed. Does that make sense? That's why it's such a big deal when someone comes to the platform of prema, that revelation the Lord actually gives himself, means as a person. Below that, then you get all the revelation of everything dealing with Brahman and Paramatma. And you understand something, but not actually complete. Right? But when Krishna gives himself, he's actually giving the complete. So that's why it's special.
Is chitta one of those words that means different things in different contexts?
It means the consciousness.
You mean the polluted consciousness or just the consciousness?
It means the conscious, means depending on how it's being done. It's posted by that Jiva's words, mind, or chitta. So it means that you're conscious, but if you're here, it's polluted consciousness. So when you come to Krishna consciousness, then you're actually acting with real consciousness. So that's when you can know.
Still chitta.
Yeah, then it's chitta. So chitta means the heart, means the consciousness. That's where the Jiva is situated, the Lord is situated, the life air is, everything situated there.
I believe Suhotra Swami at one point explained that four elements of subtle body, and chitta being one of them. Right?
Yes, yes. Yeah. No, that's that. In the 24 elements, that I think in Shankhya, then it's explained that the 24th is chitta, consciousness. Because there's different ways to explain the 24. I mean, basically it's all the same, but then others add more, I think up to 32 or stuff, because then all those elements that Brahma, you know, fear of death, bodily consciousness, all those different things, and lust, anger, greed, attachment, illusion, madness, anger, all these different things are added in because they are elements. But then we use Lord Chaitanya accepted Kapila Muni's definition of the 24, and that these others are sub-elements of that. You know, in other words, they're all there, but they're considered sub. So the 24th is the polluted consciousness. Because if you don't have polluted consciousness, then if you have polluted consciousness, the other 23 act as material. If you have pure consciousness, the other 23 act as spiritual. So it's actually a very, very crucial. That's why it's Chaito Dharpana Marjanam. Purifying the heart, that then brings in the reveals the Lord.
That's the identity.
Yes, the identity. So when you identify as I'm the controller and enjoyer, that's polluted. I'm servant of Krishna, that's the pure. That's why the crux of Krishna is adjusting that.
So ahankar.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
So does that mean that the chitta on the material side? Or
well, ahankar is just the aspect that you have an identity. Mm-hmm. But what's that identity based on? Right, because you're going to have before that, because you have the Karana Sharira, which will be I'm the controller and enjoyer. So you can say is that I am servant of Krishna would be the spiritual Karana Sharira. Right, because Mother Jashoda, she identifies as a servant of Krishna in parental rasa. Right, therefore then that particular body manifests, that form manifests. It's non-different, but its point is that's the Brahma Samhita verse, is that they have a mood, then that form. So it's the same principle here. You have a mood, polluted consciousness, that then gives you an identity, that gives you the particular body. So all it is they see themselves as servant of Krishna as the primary aspect. So all we're doing is saying, do the same thing. Then they engage what body is manifest from that, in Krishna's service. We're just doing the same thing. We're using inferior qualities. So we're not being asked to do anything different than they do in the spiritual world. You know, somebody's thought, oh, this is one problem, then we get there, it's something else. No, it's the same thing. Right? Mother Jashoda engages her house in the Lord's service. So we're doing the same thing. I just realized we're over the time. Okay. So, and
Om Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki
Jai
Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki Jai Nitai Gaur Bhakti.